96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Networks.
Morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Thursday, June 8th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day as we talk about for behemoths and by behemoths. We're trying to analyze the difference, and we're going to have that as our linear objective or linear conversation, and then bring in conversations to explain for and by behemoths. The reason for that, this conversation, is recently the New Cruise Port announced that a number of the shops, they suggested that it's going to be all, but it's actually a number of the shops will only have craft items to be sold for items that was produced in the Bahamas. And I remember I had some issues with it. And people said, why are you having issues with that? That's a good thing. And I said, you know, there is such a thing as made for the Bahamas that is not actually produced in the Bahamas. And we must know the difference. And the idea that was made for the Bahamas should be made in the Bahamas. Right? And I want to have that conversation juxtaposed with a letter that I came across. And a letter came across it by a junkanoo, not a junkanooer, but a junkanoo, who raised concern about the new museum, the junkanoo museum that is located in the port. And I was saying, but why complain? Finally, we have a museum. No, we have had museum before. We have Arlene Nash Museum, then we have Barabbas and the Tribe Museum. But this is a national museum. Well, I think it's a national museum, I'm not sure. But a national museum would mean that it's made for nationals, for behemoths first. But this particular museum is made for tourists first. But we'll be investigating that. Who is this junkanoo museum for? And what should it be suggesting, promoting? So that's too is going to be in the conversation of made for the Bahamas and made in the Bahamas. That conversation, right? So actually, I have Erin Green with me again. She's going to be the prod her and add for information. I know I sent her the letter by the junkanoo, right? And I want that letter to be read in the record, so we can analyze the letter and see if it has any merit in terms of how we analyze it and analyze our topic, right? So without further ado, I'll have Erin read that letter.
All right, including the author,
of course,
right? All right,
I gotta give the author credit, because just in case I gotta get blamed, I gotta blame the author.
There you go.
Go ahead.
Please note that these are the reflections of Katie Minnis and no other individual or organization. We 50 now, and if we want different, we have to act different. I want to be the change I need to see in this Bahama land. Re-Junkanoo Museum at the new $300 million Nassau Cruise Port. In 2003, when on the advice of Kenneth Andrews, I joined what is now known as the Junkanoo Corporation of Nassau as a representative for fancy dances, I sat in meetings with Junkanoo legends such as Arthur Gibson, first chairman, Gus Cooper, Vola Francis, Jackson and Stan Burnside, Winston Churchill Roll, Percy Paul, Leslie Johnson, Anthony Carroll, Silbert Ferguson, Taylor Boy, he was chaplain for Music Makers, I think, Victoria Sahn, Eric Scrapnoles, Arlene Nash Ferguson, Gary Z. Russell, Henry Higgins, and Kishlane O'Brien, to see how junkanoos can take ownership of our product. Today, we remain enslaved and at the mercy of others. I will continue reading the letter by Katie Minnis. For years, there were the exchanges of proposals and credible offers between the JCNP, and the government for the establishment of a world-class Junkanoo Museum owned by Junkanoos. Today, as I watch the news, I see the Junkanoos are to be relegated as mere workers who will receive a pittance of what is collected in revenue. Workers. Laborers, that is all we can aspire to. Provide them with our creativity, labor, or love, beauty, and culture, but we shall not sit at the table, make the decisions, or earn the real money. How did this happen? Junkanoos. It is possible for them to relegate us to nothing because, one, we do not value ourselves. We do not see our power. We love this Junkanoo so passionately that that is all we see. While they see business and money, we only see the rush. It is time we see both. Two, we need to work together and speak with one voice. There is too much working for the good of ourselves or our group and not for the good of our craft. That is how they were able to steal the name Junkanoo and add it to Bahamas Carnival. And ain't nothing Junkanoo about that. More on that at another time. Three, we need to not only have the vision, but document, strategize, and work. Junkanoos, I say we transform our own shacks into museums. Form a network and bring those visitors and locals to the real Junkanoo museums. Look at Barabbas. Let's start there. He has a model to possible visitors to the other Junkanoo museums. I would say, you want Junkanoo? Come to us, over the hill, and into the inner city where we live. Recitalize ourselves while they revitalize their pockets. Keep our costumes, employ our own people, invest in ourselves. Show them better than you can tell them. We 50 now.
We 50 now. Apparently 50, this jubilee is a big thing. It's a big celebration. It's something worth commending, something worth
commemorating.
Commemorating. Yeah, that's the right word I'm saying, right? I wanted to read this letter to let my listening audience hear it, to see if it, and then analyze it, see if it has any merit, right? See if it's worthy of analyzing, right? The writer, and remind me of the name of the writer who did that again, Aaron.
Katie Minnis.
Was saying that business and money versus the rush. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And they are the practitioners are claiming that they are not involved in the commerce of Junkanoo. And this is my question here. So far, Ms. Green, do you know who owns the Junkanoo Museum in the port?
I have not seen any official documents indicating who owns it, but I was told that it was owned by Sir Franklin Wilson.
And I'm not sure if that's true or not. And mind you, I've heard that rumor too, right? And the reason why I ask that question, it's a baited question. Is it important for us to know who owns the Junkanoo Museum?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt, it's important for us to know. In fact, Junkanoo is such a central element of our collective being, our history, our present, our future, that not just anybody should be able to own a Junkanoo Museum.
Don't you mean not just anybody?
Well, first of all, you got to be Bahamian. I don't think foreigners should be allowed to own a Junkanoo Museum because it's about who has the authority to not just tell the Junkanoo story, but to interpret the lives of Bahamians. Who has the authority to do that?
Let me ask you a baited question. I have no clue, Aaron, I'm sure you don't either, who is the creator. I think that's the person who puts the art and crafts in a museum. I do not know who is the creator of the Junkanoo B. Bahamian.
Now, the person should have proven, that they understand the Bahamian experience. Not just the historic academics, like I have a PhD and I've spent 10 years, 15 years studying this particular element of the Bahamian experience. But you have to be able to connect those, that understanding of the past to a realization, right, of the present and the ability to project on behalf of the populace into the future. It's an awesome responsibility. And not just anybody could take that up. And you have to be rooted in some way in Bahamiana. Is it Bahamian life, the Bahamian cultural experience or expression?
What if I tell you junk news are they do not know how to tell their story. They just can't. They are, what the writer said, they are for the rush alone. But in terms of telling the junk news story, doing a junk news narrative, they can't do it.
Well, it's like, can you see the forest for the trees, right? It's that they are so engaged in and actually being Junkanoo, right? That they don't necessarily have the perspective. They cannot locate themselves in a way that allows them to see and manage the full scope of Junkanoo. There should be people who commit to providing that type of oversight for Junkanoo. But they're not rushers. They don't rush. They don't paste anymore. But they sit like statesmen, like senators in the House. You sit at a level to provide a degree of oversight. But it also means that the Junkanoo Committee has to shift in its... the Junkanoo community has to shift in its culture. Because Junkanoo community says, if you ain't Russian, then you can't be an authority on Junkanoo. But you need to allow people to move out of that function in Junkanoo, assume a higher function, and operate with the authority necessary to provide that function.
I want to know, I see you call, I'm going to come to you right now, so brace yourself. What if I tell you the museum that is in the port is the official national Junkanoo Museum?
It can't be. No pen could write on the paper that's supposed to say that the national official Junkanoo Museum is in the Nassau Cruz Port. I imagine that not one pen would wake in the House of Assembly that day.
So if the word national conjures up what?
A state entity.
State entity? But clearly it's a private entity.
It'd have to be.
Let's go to the caller. Producer Patrick, call it through for me. Caller, welcome to Guiding Radio in AM.
A pleasant good morning both to you, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri.
Good morning.
Listening to the Junkanoo thing, Ms. Green, I'd like you to give me a moment to say something that I've been holding back for a long time. I mentioned this before to you and Mr. Nuri. Mr. Nuri, you had Ms. Barbara Wilson on the other day talking about some people and the family trees and everything. Hello?
Go ahead, Sparky.
Am I correct, sir?
Go ahead, Sparky.
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. In 1958... a lady by the name of Gwendolyn Mercedes Joy Mins Pinder Fountain was approached by her son, Kipling Pinder, who was approached by Doss Cooper and Perry Christie and Doyle Burris and Gully Enos and all of those. They wanted to start a new group splitting away from a man out east by the name of Spurgeon Smith. She went to A.B. Malcolm on Bay Street, where she was the secretary of the day, and a switchboard operator at the hospital at night, to request from him to sponsor the Valley Boys. Mr. A.B. Malcolm gave my mother 16 pounds, a box of cowbells and a box of whistles. Cowbells were used then for farmers to put
Sparky,
tie around cows' necks.
Sparky, pause.
What I'm saying, why your mother quickly say this now?
Go ahead, the quickly part.
Gwendolyn Mercedes, after 58 years, has never been honored by any committee, not the Valley Boys, not the Junkanoo Committee, not tourism. And I've seen all kind of little boys came there, way after me. I'm not talking about me now. I went out with the first group at 7 years old in 1958, December. And what I'm saying, Ms. Green, we have seen people every Independence Day, every Christmas be honored with all these jackets and black jackets and aquamarine jackets and everything. The former founder of the Valley Boys has never been honored in this country in 58 years. And we're about to honor the country for 50 years. I just had to get that out. I'm with you on my mother. I can let you hear it. I can send it to you. and it's the fox. Doyle Burroughs, Gus Cooper, all of them will tell you they used to call my mother Aunt Gwenny. And that's the history of the beginning of the Valley Boys. They promised, Gus Cooper promised he was going to do it, but Gus Cooper got sick. Brian Hardy promised me for 3 years.
Okay, there, Sparky, let me ask you this.
I have to say that.
I know, I understand. You say it about 20 times now. But let me ask you, what do you want the Valley Boys do for your mother?
No. See, the thing is...
So you don't want to do that in front of mother?
Before you start honoring people...
No, pause. Sparky.
Honor the old, but not only her, you know.
Sparky, listen to me.
All of those women...
I got to put you on hold. I asked you one question, what you want the Valley Boys do for your mother, and you have no clue what you want the Valley Boys do for your mother. Then why bring it up? This is a time now you could lobby for your mother and say, I want you all to honor my mother, please. And then I'll call the Valley Boys. That's Kirsleen, person? That's Kirsleen? Who's Valley Boys?
I'm not sure. I rush for Spirit, the greatest scrap group of the history of juggling white people.
I could lobby for him
world.
And say, man, please honor Sparky, mother.
In fact, a great idea would be considering the sentiment shared in the letter by Miss Katie Minnis, right? Mm-hmm. Recommending the Junkanooers sort of seize the assets that they have available to them already and control over and turn them into cultural exchange spaces, museums, and income-generating mechanisms, right? That what Sparky should ask the Valley to do is, and he should lobby to have one of the shacks named in her honor, development and the growth of the Valley Boys. I mean, I think that's an excellent
look
idea.
Look how easy you came up with that idea, though. That's easily done. That's what I'm asking, Sparky. Yeah. What exactly
but
is
see,
it?
But this is it, right? This whole idea that you're so entrenched in a situation or a dilemma that you are not in the best location to see the possible solutions. And that's what Junkanoo needs. Right, Sparky is a perfect example of that. Junkanoo needs people whose job it is not to rush, not to coordinate resources and people or to control parades, but they should be given the full authority to imagine the fullness of what Junkanoo can be, not just as a cultural expression, an art form, but a function in the lives of Bahamian people. I mean, you see how important these lived experiences are to people. This is a central part of Sparky's identity, and many Bahamians have the same connection, right, to themselves and their family through Junkanoo and the cultural practice of Junkanoo. And Junkanoos have fallen down on the job.
And let's talk about that, yeah. Right? As we talk about, again, made for the Bahamas and made by the Bahamas.
Right.
And that's our theme going through this conversation, right? In the letter by Miss Minnis, she suggested that the Junkanoos reclaim Junkanoo.
Mm-hmm.
She even poked fun at, again, Christy in terms of Junkanoo Carnival. I like the concept of Junkanoo Carnival because persons who are culturalists see there is a need for a cultural experience, and Junkanoo by itself is not that. And that's kind of problematic words. What do you mean by cultural experience? I mean a interactive experience, mm-hmm. where the spectator is able to be involved,
right,
in the rush.
And
because the rush is something spiritual that is connected to those people who rush.
Right.
So there was a need to create something different. But of course, it failed.
Well, no, it hasn't failed. Mm-hmm. I see a natural evolution of Junkanoo, right? A natural capturing of that sentiment is what we call Junkanoo practice. Now, it really evolved also, it evolved sort of hand in hand culturally and economically. People were actually going to Junkanoo practices to enjoy and experience Junkanoo. They appreciated the difference in the crowd, the way that they were able to interact with the groups and the space that they were in, the other people there. And Junkanoo groups saw that shift happening, and they were able to capitalize on it in terms of a mechanism that generates funds and resources.
Excuse the pastor, caller through for me. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, good day. How you doing today, Mr.
I'm always good, man. Blessings to you.
All right. Once again, good day. And I will get on your co-host Because she takes my number a little while now. I feel like a little teenage boy sitting by the phone waiting on her to call me back.
Well, look here. Message me at 4280719.
Do it one more time so you can write down the number.
We'll see you, babe. Hold on.
Please? Yeah, you got to get the number again.
Get that. 428-719.
4280719.
4280719.
Yeah.
Once again, I've been dealing with this for a long time. That's why me and you need to talk probably even on the 4280719 number.
Yeah, yes.
Because I've been doing this for like 30 years now, trying to do it in a different way and make it more productive.
Mm-hmm.
My son here now, right? They born in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned it. One day we pick him up today from the airport while he's in school. Bring him, they have the festival on Saturdays with the different jungle group.
Yeah.
Him and his little brother standing next to me. And I looking at the group. Next thing I turn around, they disappear. I wonder what happened or whatever. I look good. They in the group.
Russian?
They in the group. I was a volley boy after this. I was a volley boy.
Yes.
But so, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
About just the drum beat and all, like that just grabbed. I every jungle, me and my brother-in-law, Big Red, we sit on the same bleacher every year, and like we used to judge them. Anyone who in them group, they come. I is the bass line, and he is the costume and the dancer, and like so we know jungle
mm-hmm.
a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But when they reached us. On, I forget what that street name, maybe, but they stopped us and pay respect and see if they okay. And I tell them, wait, you're getting over there? You got to beat this drum. You understand?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So we already have a connection, and I already know, like, my two cents, ain't no one perfect, you know. Like, when I said no one perfect, nobody don't know everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to collaborate. Like, we've been doing this too long, like, all the time. You say, well, this one, and then my mother said, boy, you have too much ideas. You need to shut up. Like, that means I'm supposed to go to the grave with the same ideas and nobody. I don't care if people do it, but everyone will do it where they can make some more of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what I mean? Like, this is the really reason I call you today. Because the same son sitting in the back here, who was a valley boy, he asked me a question just now. He said, for a new port.
Museum.
We could go to anything over in the port now?
We should be able to go because it's open up to the public and there's like a security section or secure section that you
right.
can't go beyond. But
okay.
I haven't gone yet.
Right.
When I went on Bay, it was secured and locked down, but they had an event. So I do not know as yet, but they said that you have access. Yes.
Right, because I used to do the alarm and stuff out there from the old building. And you had the little gate right there where the defense was. You couldn't go past that. So
yeah.
That's what he was asking, if we could go to the museum and to the theater and all these other stuff over there.
Yeah, those things should be open to the public.
Or open to the public soon.
Yeah.
As they are still fine-tuning things.
Okay.
Yeah. So I got to balance this now. I got to balance this because I'm going to say, Ms. Grant, I got a balance test.
Yeah.
I ain't going to say it on the radio. But me and you need to sit down and talk. I've been, like, I like you're organized. I used to come to watch you by the Dundas Theater, too, you know.
The comedy group, eh?
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, boy, it's my neighbor. Well, it used to be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so me and you need to talk.
Yes, sir.
Like, I already have the company set up.
Okay.
I'm just waiting on serious people to be serious. Like,
I got you.
This is for all of us. This is for that's me and you. That's all
Bahamians. Yeah, man.
Yeah. You all have a good day.
Yes,
you
sir.
Too.
I see you all making all kind of date on the middle of my show, but I ain't complaining, no. That just remind me, I have something to do for Scullaboo and speak to April shortly, but that, I digress.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? My going back on topic, right? The authorities in the port, right, recently proclaimed that they wanted the majority of items, if not all the items, 80%, 90%, to be made in the Bahamas. They've relented a bit mm-hmm. to allow made for the Bahamas items, right?
Mm-hmm.
Realizing that it's actually going to be hard for Bahamians to procure that much of items to sell.
The volume
that is needed.
Yeah.
Right? And there's also an international section in the port that few people know of, mm-hmm. where owners can sell internationally made items that has nothing to do with the Bahamas. So mm-hmm. so that is a section that Bahamians can take advantage of, and tourists, again, can take advantage of and produce. But we still need information on that to see where and when and how. But the conversation is about that we need to make room for things that we have to import and put the Bahamas name on it. And does it still have value for such a thing?
We still have a hotel and tourism.
Yes, they supposed to have their own section.
So I think that is the space in which these conversations and mechanisms should arise, right? A body that provides oversight. We need to have a whole discussion. We need to have then courses developed for BTVI, UB, and the high achieving classes at public and private schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we discuss that concept. What does made for the Bahamas mean,
mm-hmm.
right? How will it operate? What's the scope? What are the limitations we can put on it? What does a space look like? How much space is occupied by 100% Bahamian? How much space is occupied by made, 50% Bahamian, and then by made for Bahamians? And then on that note, right before we go to the caller, man, look here, the ideas have been coming in. Somebody said, listen, we should name a parade after Sparky's mother.
Mm-hmm.
We
had that before, right? And the name just gone. The one who used to do track and field, who had the florist.
Wisdom. Yeah.
He had very of former Junkanoos.
In fact,
pay tribute to them.
We should have every year the season. The parade should be named after those people we've chosen to honor this season. Every particular the Billy Joe Festival in honor of.
But the question is...
Joe Billy.
And as we move to the caller, the question is, who should be celebrating Sparky's mother? Should it be the Junkanoo Ministry of
Community
Culture?
Community as a whole.
Or should it be Valley Boys, who she impacted only one group?
Right. Or should it be a special interest group? Maybe just a group of Valley Boys pull together a commemoration event that the Valley Boys supports and shares with the wider Junkanoo community in the country.
There you go. Let's get back to this caller. Producer Patrick, call through for me. Go ahead, caller. You're on Guardian Radio AM.
Hello, good day. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Good.
All right, yeah. I want to bother you all or disturb you for 3 seconds. I didn't wait on the line 2 minutes. But I'm watching that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, right, they have such thing called Bahamian pride, right? And one thing we pride ourselves about is we don't have terrorists. Activity is we don't do those sort of stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of disturbed by now. I'm in a big flatbed truck, right?
Mm-hmm.
There was one police car and one SUV with probably delegates or whatever, maybe foreign delegates, mm-hmm. whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I say that to say, why do they think a private owned vehicle or these vehicles must be like flying off the edge of the road, not caring about where the vehicle land on the edge of the road, because they speeding, they doing ridiculous speeds, whereas we're not a country that have a bunch of gunmen that jump out of vans and jump out of these things and rob and hold up foreign delegates or do these kind of activities. But then they speeding about it. You don't think it'd be nicer if they just drive and say, look how nice the Bahamas is. You don't have to worry about your life being in danger. Yeah, you could drive at a certain speed. Yeah, people could pull over for you. But you can't plow people out the road unnecessarily. Your own citizens who are every day of the year, every day of the week of the month of the year. And but I call really, and I want to hear your point of view on that whenever you change the topic. But I call about that Junkanoo situation too.
Mm-hmm.
I had an idea. And I didn't even like Erin's statement earlier this morning when she said, like, about the Badero back and this stuff. I think our athletes should get, like, gold medals, like, valuable stuff, for as small as it may be, right? First and foremost. But the idea for Jonkin Wayad was like, what about like a type dog chain for all like the $50,000, $100,000 for these loyal Jonkin participators to have like dog chains with their name on it. And then when, you know, like in the army, when they tear off a piece when you die or when you passed away,
mm-hmm.
and then you like, you a valley boy for life, you a Saxon for life. And then even like a different chain that, that people who just enjoy Jonkin could buy to represent
that
team, that,
yeah.
that might be something, you know what I'm saying? And that'd be a value, even if it's stainless steel, even if it's, you know, but let it be a value or some people could try to. Thank you, Vince. Good day.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah, man. No, man. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr.
And then for the women, too, the dancers, they maybe could have like the anklet with the same exact thing. And then every junkanoo, every trip around, they carry the dog tags or the fallen soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like make it, make, yeah. And then in a couple of years, they could value stuff. They could worth something. They could reflect
yes.
on something and be easier to. You know?
They become collectors' items. Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So
beautiful
that was
ideas.
Just my idea. But I want to hear your perspective on this speeding around with these, much like us in these bonds, that they make feel like their life is more important than mine. And I do the same thing they do to survive.
Okay. Thank you very much, Carl. I'll do it quickly, and I know you love traffic. As you know, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris, is in-house. And because of that, Bay Street is locked down. Yeah. So if you're traveling in that area, don't travel
yeah,
in that
from
area.
From 1 a.m. this morning to 10 p.m. tonight. So
yes.
just make alternate plans.
And I see that the bridges also close for a period of time also.
Yes.
So if you have issues, you may have issues going over Paradise Island. Today also.
Yes.
But I understand your concern about police speeding through the roads, especially in these small roads,
mm-hmm.
and the pressure and the anxiety that it gives pedestrians and persons, the road traffic community, mm-hmm. in terms of what do you do when they say move now,
yeah.
right? There is a concern. That's something that the minister, the commissioner of police, the roads traffic chief need to consider. What happens
yeah.
when police blare down on you when you're driving? It causes anxiety.
Yeah. If I could
go ahead
quickly.
Go ahead.
Carla, I appreciate exactly what you're saying, and particularly the difficulty of navigating the roadway in a situation like that as a large commercial vehicle, right? Is the truth is that we as drivers, we are reckless and ignoring the law. In most parts of the island, the speed limit is 25. You know, and 30 max. The second thing is this, though I'm not discounting your contribution, for such a high-level meeting, right? We're talking about the Vice President of the U.S. I don't want her getting an accident. You probably don't want nothing to happen to her in the Bahamas.
Nothing happened in the Bahamas.
Ain't nothing gonna happen to her in the Bahamas.
No.
We can't afford it. What I would have directed or instructed my officers to do is to include outriders. To include outriders on that route so that they could go ahead and ensure the traffic is cleared. That gives a safer movement for the convoy, but it also creates a safer environment for drivers. And I don't understand why they wouldn't have had outriders as officers. You have two officers in the front, two officers in the back on motorcycles, and their job is to go a certain distance ahead of the convoy and stop and clear intersections to make sure that the vehicles move safely through. The next thing is this. Why y'all keep buying these vehicles where the sirens don't work? Why are police officers using their horn to move through traffic when they should be using the sirens? Why y'all don't turn the sirens on loud? There's a button underneath there somewhere that says loud. You also need to give the driving public sufficient notice to be, it requires you using the sirens at the top volume and not using your horn instead of the siren. But I think in this instance, we understand the high security nature of the meeting that she's attending and the convoy, and they should have had outriders to ensure that the traffic is cleared and aware of what's approaching them.
Yeah, see, that was easy then. Let's see what time it is, see if we need to take a commercial break, and let's do that. Producer, let's patch the commercial break, and then we'll start over again talking about made for the Bahamas and made in the Bahamas. They're both important, especially dealing with the port. Mm-hmm. The port, Junk Canoe and the Junk Canoers, their commentary about the National Junk Canoe Museum. Whose museum is it anyways? Whose tourism is it anyways, right? Is this museum for Bahamians first, then tourists next, or vice versa? Mm-hmm. But anyway, we can break right now and come right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bala Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bala hair, you say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted?
And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Almost there.
Sarge, that's you.
Well, who else?
Tell the truth. I thought a beige walrus was dying on the sidewalk.
I'm preparing for my 4x100-meter debut.
More like 1x1, because the other 99 killing you.
Funny, the Bahamas game's coming July 7th to July 15th, and Grand Bahama gotta win this.
Well, you know that.
Email info at thebahamasgames.org or call 322-1029 for more information.
Which island is gonna win?
And welcome back to Garden Radio and AM as we talk made for Bahamians and made by Bahamians. And we are using the port as something to analyze. And we had a commentary from the Junk Canoe, the Junk Canoe community, who spoke on whether the new Junk Canoe Museum answers what they need for the Junk Canoe community. And the letter writer, Ms. Minnis, mentioned that they need to remove their skills or charge more or value their skills and their artistry more and have the tourists come over the hill to patronize their workspace, right? So that was something worth analyzing and where you question. For years, according to the letter, saying that they were talking about the government sponsoring, assisting, partnering with the Junk Canoe community to create their Junk Canoe Museum. And unfortunately, that never came about, right? And I'm wondering if this new concept, where clearly this investor used its own funds, his or her own funds, and created a Junk Canoe product that where the Bahamas can be proud of. We've seen some pictures circulating through social media. We even had a discourse whether the creator was Bahamian or not, or if it needs to be Bahamian or not. And who should the curator of the Junk Canoe Museum be, right? Aaron gave commentary before that there should be a connection to the Bahamas. Even though you might be an academic and know how to put things in a particular way that can evoke emotion and thought, you should still have a connection to the Bahamas to be considered a curator of a Junk Canoe product.
I think the perfect test, if you don't know who Jerry Roque is or why they can't find him in town, I don't know if you could be the curator of the Bahamas National Junk Canoe Museum, right? There are certain like non-technical tests that have to be applied. It's just like we look at sort of common life in the Bahamas. You hear sometimes a name, somebody is appointed to a committee or something, and people are, they're comfortable with it because they know that person, and they know that that person is sufficiently entrenched in that that part of the Bahamian experience to fulfill that role, or, you know, to be an authority on the subject. It they're just some small things, you know, that you have to satisfy to be able to take these positions.
And as we continue to show, you personally have no issue with Maid 4 that was imported into the Bahamas. And then, of course, we add the Bahamas to it, or add some exoticness to it.
I have a problem with that.
You do?
Explain. But I can tell you why. Huh. Because... okay, I don't have a problem with you importing goods to be sold in the Bahamas. I understand that the dynamics that limit our capacity for production, right? But it can't just be helter-skelter or willy-nilly. You can't just go online and find some things and say, oh, I think these things would sell here. The things have to... they have to resonate with the Bahamian experience. They have to be things, so you may get them from Southeast Asia, but they have to be things that we also use in the Bahamas. See, and that's the beauty of it. You could go around the world on this latitude, and anything that grows, you know, anything that grows on this latitude in the world will grow in the Bahamas on this latitude. And in a similar way, you can find things that are similar to what we have here, and then you could beautify them, or you could personalize them, or make them more Bahamian. But it has to be something that resonates with this place. We really have to sort of shift the thinking. It's not just a matter of going out there and finding the cheapest thing possible to bring back here. You still got to be savvy, you still got to be creative, and you still have to build a connection to the Bahamas through your souvenirs.
Some hotels over Paradise Island were concerned about a fast food chain, a particular fast food chain be on the main street of Bay Street, and still on the line of Maid for the Bahamas and Maid in the Bahamas. They're saying that it's not a part of the Bahamian theme, particularly Paradise Island theme. It does not evoke the ethos or the spirit of luxury, right? Mm-hmm. And using our theme again, Maid for the Bahamas, Maid in the Bahamas, does a fast food restaurant fit in on a Paradise Island retreat luxury brand? Or since it's owned by or rented by the Bahamian.